Hello and welcome back to the Christian Creative Podcast Thursday episode. Well, my Bible tells me that I should be ready to give a reason for the hope that lives in me. Well, all right, let's do just that. Let's jump right in. Karibuni tena. Welcome back to the Christian Creative Thursday edition, Thursday episode, Thursday monologue, Thursday noise, you know. I don't know what to call it. Still, I'm saying Thursday because if you're not aware or if you've been living under a rock, we are doing Mondays and Thursdays now. Mondays being Bible Club and Thursdays being our regular podcast. And yes, you guessed right, last Thursday there was no episode. Maybe you noticed, maybe you didn't notice. Nonetheless, here we are this Thursday. I think there's a thing that I've noticed that I'll maybe start cutting down is, you know, trying to mention dates and everything, because I've realized that most people, or you know, just a sizable portion of people that come to this platform or this channel to listen to this content, they usually don't come, you know, around the same time that I'm posting this. So sometime they'll come because of one episode and then start, you know, just listening to past episodes. So if I start putting on dates, they might feel like they are too old, the episodes are too old for them to listen or to relate to the content. So yeah, well, let's just say it's another edition nonetheless, all right? But it's episode something. I don't know what episode this is. Let me just confirm that. Why does this happen? Does this ever happen to you when you're using a computer and you're in a rush, or you're using your phone and you're in a rush to check something for somebody, and you decide, hey, let me check it real fast, and then the moment you're looking for it, you don't actually find it, or you press the wrong app, or you click on the wrong app. It's like when I'm switching off my computer sometime, I click restart instead of shut down, and that just, for a moment, it crushes me, because sometimes I've been working late and I decide to just go to sleep at that moment, and I decide to switch off the computer as I go to bed, as a normal person would do. Why would I decide to switch off the computer? I mean, that's the one thing that you do before you go to bed. Anyway, I digress. So I decide to, you know, why do I keep on saying I decide? Well, then I switch off the computer, but by chance I click restart instead, and boom, I have to wait for it to restart, boot up again, and then shut down now. And you have to wait so that you can switch off from the main power source. Nonetheless, how are you? How are you doing? I keep on asking, how are you? How are you doing? And you never get back to me. It's heartbreaking, guys. Get back to me. Get back to me. Anyway, it's episode 25. I've confirmed it's episode 25. The last episode, the last Thursday episode we had, we were talking about 24 scriptures to encourage you. And today, if you're listening to this and you are a Christian, you're a born again Christian, you know about Christ and you profess Christ, then this might be an audio to help you, help others find the same light that you found. Because I would like you to share this with an unbeliever. I'd like you to share this with somebody who is not subscribing to our faith. Yeah, so I want to share, because I want to share the reason for my hope. As a believer who believes in the Bible, the script that I subscribe to tells me this. In the Bible, there's a book called 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." So that is exactly what I feel like doing today.
Also, another thing I've learned is that I'll not, you know, I'll just use, I'll try keep away from good morning, good afternoon, you know, good evening, because, again, I don't know what time you're listening to this, so I don't want you to feel like, you know, it's outdated or outtimed. Is that a thing? Well, these are the things I get away with because JR is not here. So, if he was here, I would have felt it because he wouldn't let it pass. I desired for him to be here today, but he couldn't because I gave him a very late notice. So, guys, if you want to get JR on your project, please tell him before time, as a normal human being would do, because apparently I am not. Of course, I am not, because I did something wrong. I forgot. It just slipped my mind. But also, to my defense, I just thought about it last minute. The thing with the Monday episodes, they are quite easy to come up with. Why? Because I'm not even actually coming up with them. It's the Bible, and the Bible is endless, if I might say. So, you know, every Monday. So, to the new listeners and to the new people that are listening to this, welcome so much. I am JK Waweru, Waweru underscore JK is what I go with on social media. You can be able to find me there. You can be able to check out some of my works. You can be able to check out some of my creations as well, other creations. I am a graphic designer by profession, and I'm also in the media industry, photography, videography largely. And that's my life. That's what I do for a daily living. I run a ministry together with my brother JR. We are co-founders in a ministry called Coded 66 Ministries. It is based on the Word of God, the 66 books of the Bible. It lies solely on teaching, that is apologetics majorly, and arts and the entertainment, which is also where focus on two areas that we focus on, that is Christian apologetics and arts and entertainment. So other than that, I have my own personal ministry, which what you're listening to is part of, which is the Christian Creative Podcast. The ministry is called the Christian Creative, and my personal calling is to fellow creatives, fellow people who are in the arts and entertainment scene. So in a nutshell, that is who I am. And so I myself, in a way, I am not here to share my testimony of how I got born again. I know that usually that is how, you know, the first thing that somebody might try to do or usually do when they want to share the reason for their hope. But I will share generally, you know, I will contrast yours and mine. So right now, I'm assuming that I'm speaking to somebody who is an unbeliever. And if you're a believer when you're listening to this, or you're skeptical or you're unsure, this is also for you. And even to fellow believers that are listening to this, this is also for you. So don't feel out of place just because I'm saying, you know, I'm sharing your position and my position. You might be having some of these factors. You might not have some of these factors as well. So let's just try to marry the two. So there's no particular structure to this. I am being as spontaneous as ever right now. I am not sure what's going to happen in the next few minutes. I'm not sure what I'm going to say, but I asked the Holy Spirit, which is my help, of which if you are a believer, you understand who the Holy Spirit is. If you're not a believer, then I will explain that the Holy Spirit is a helper. He is part of the Godhead. The Godhead consists of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. None is lesser than the other. None is superior than the other. It's a Godhead. It's a triune nature. It's the triune nature of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that was left behind by Christ to help us after Christ came and paid the ultimate price on the cross, dying for your sins and my sins, taking on the shame that we should have taken and going on the cross for the same. And he took upon that burden so that you and I can acquire freedom in salvation and be able to access eternity if only we believe in his name. And so when he did that, he left behind a helper that will be able to walk us through until the end of time, that we might be able to go and rejoice with him in heaven. And that helper is the Holy Spirit, and that helper is the one that I am asking, and the one that I believe will be able to help me to share with you these next few minutes and moments about why I believe and why I have hope in my life and why I think you, not only think, but I believe that you should also subscribe to the same faith or the same hope that I subscribe to. All right? So I'll give you a few scenarios. So probably you're in a place where you're depressed. I'm starting with depressed because my audience, when I check my my statistics on the different applications and the different softwares and the different platforms that this podcast is available, the age bracket that listen to me are the age bracket of my age, apparently. So that's between 19 to 27, 28 years. Those are the people that usually listen to this podcast a lot. And so, and that is the one thing that is prominent right now. Most people are depressed. Probably you're broken. Probably you're hurting, maybe from a relationship or from a family breakup, maybe a parental hurt, siblings, okay, family related in general, or you are in pain because of a friend, lost a friend, family member. You are in pain because you feel like you've come to the end. You know, all these factors that, you know, amount up to depression. Maybe you're at a point in your life where you feel like you're stagnant. You are not growing. You're not moving. You feel like you've come to the end, but you're not really at the end. So you are hanging somewhere in between, right? Let's see another scenario. Where are you? You feel like there's so much that you still are to do. There's so much that you are still to explore in this world. There's so much that you need to conquer, you need to experience, you need to work with. You feel like you know, you're not ready to go out yet. There's a fear of death somewhere, right? That is a very prominent one. There's a fear of death somewhere. All right. Remember, these things are just, you know, coming as we go. Whatever comes to mind is what I'm sharing. And okay, let's go through those. So depression. Personally, have I been depressed? Yes. Have I been depressed? Yes, more than once. I have been depressed before. Because of a relationship, romantic relationship? Yes, I have been depressed because of that. Because of a family-related issue? Yes, definitely. Many of those. So many of those. Personally, I have grown up in a family that is, number one, so broken. 100% broken. We are two, my brother and I, we are from different fathers. I've shared that story, by the way, before here. So just listen to the podcast, the different episodes, and you'll be able to get it somewhere in there. I think I shared that story in the episode about The Day We Left. Yes, just look for that title, The Day We Left. I'm not sure which episode it was, but just look for The Day We Left and you'll be able to hear that story, where I give the story of how my brother and I came to have two different fathers. Yeah, and so on and so forth. So yes, I've been depressed because of family. Now, because I'm also now the firstborn, so I've had to bear the burdens of a few things here and there. What else? Felt stagnant, definitely. That has almost always happened more often than any other thing. Felt stagnant, not growing, not moving, not going anywhere. Yes, that I've gone through. I felt like that. I felt like there's still so much more to explore. Feeling like you're insufficient. Yes, that's the word that I was looking for. Feeling insufficient. Feeling like, you know, you've not done enough. You're feeling like you still need to do more. Yes, definitely. Up to date, it's also a battle that I still fight. You know, it's still a battle that I still struggle with. You know, just being content with what I have and where I am. So let's start with depression. I have been depressed so many times, and the difference between you and I at this moment, if you are at a position where you are not able to move, you're still depressed, the difference between you and I is because I, and this is one thing that you'll find prominent throughout this whole discussion, is that I have someone to talk to that is not the same as I am. that is not as depressed as I am. You see, most of the time, the people we'll go to talk to, they will also be depressed as well. And most of the time, they will give us advice and give us solutions based on their own experience or based on their own struggle. We are human, that's number one. And what we tend to do is rub off our instincts and our desires and our feelings on other people. Push and force ourselves on people because, you know, I feel like I've gone through it before. And so I am supposed to tell you to go through it the same way that I went through it. I mean, it's very easy. Look at all social media right now. You'll find a gazillion of people telling you, you know, if you're going through this, stand up, don't stand for it, and whatnot. A lot of advice is online, you know. But more often than not, check out these people and you'll realize they're also trying to communicate something to themselves. I have been in a position where I told somebody or told some people, hey, deal with this situation this way because I felt like I needed to deal with it that way. But I felt like if I told somebody to do it, it will convince me more. Is it wrong? Well, there's a green line there because it could be right. It could be the right way to deal with it. But could it be right to deal with it for that person? It could be right to deal with it that way for me, but will it be right to deal with it that way for them? You understand? You see, that is where I think the Bible comes in, because we all need a standard that does not change for anybody. The standard that stays clean and straight, does not waver, does not shake, remains unchanged, remains clean, you know? And that is where the Word of God comes in. You see, God does not change His Word over time. It does not come to 2021 and He decides, well, it's 2021, let's update the Bible. You know, let's update my prophets. Let's see. I feel like this prophecy was wrong. Let me update it. You see, God does not change His Word. His Word remains. What was being preached, you know, in the times of Paul in the Bible, Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, a disciple, that is, for those who do not know. The things that were being preached at that time, the things that Jesus spoke at that time, they're still the things that are written right now and the things that we still read and are still applicable up to this time. You see, that is why the Bible is one of the best seller, not even one. It is the best seller. It's the one that has sold the most copies in the world to date. The Bible, because literally any time in the century, let me say the century, or at any point in the last 100 years, somebody read the Bible, it is the same thing that somebody is reading right now. And it is still speaking to your life. Many other times I've read a word and wow, that was so blunt, that was so honest, that was so straight up real. You see, there are this scenario that when I'm watching a movie sometimes, I'll watch a movie and then a scene will come on and they'll mention the year. You know, they'll mention the year. You know, it's 2007, come on, wake up and smell the coffee and whatnot. And the moment you hear the date, you're like, ah, if they only knew, you know, by 2020 we'll have a new you know, breed of coffee. And the coffee that you woke up and smelt at that time in 2007 is not the same coffee that you're waking up to smell in 2021, right? So the difference, this way it comes in. You see, books can be outdated. I mean, you look at books and the era that they are written in, you know, it all speaks of things that are outdated. But the difference with the Word of God, the Bible that I subscribe to, it is timeless. You can access it at any time in this lifetime that we are in, and it still speaks volume. This is how you know that it is the Word of God, the actual Word of God, that is His breath speaking. Because if you're able to apply that word to date, today you apply it and it works, then what else is that? Because God Himself is the creator, and the Bible says that He's the beginning and the end. All of time, He's everything. He's away from this spectrum of time. So that means He's in a position that He's able to look at the whole timeline. He's able to see the time you're born, even the time before you are conceived, up to the time that you pass on to the other side. All right? So that is the difference when it comes to dealing with depression. With me, I have somebody who I can talk to. I go to him, I go to his word, because people say, well, I have not heard God talk. Nonetheless, if he's real, why doesn't he talk? But he has spoken. He has given us 66 books. He has given us 66 books. Those are his words. We have not exhausted those words. Going to church every Sunday is proof. You listen to his word, and every time you get a new revelation, you get a new idea, you get a fresh perspective out of life. Why? Because he has already spoken. The Bible is here with us. We cannot put ourselves in the position of the Israelites when they were moving away from Egypt, saying that, you know, God was speaking to them that time. They had no scriptures to look at. There was no other way of them knowing about Christ, knowing about God. And the only way he could reveal himself to them was by being there himself, so that by this time he wouldn't need for him to be speaking audibly, like with his own voice, like a mountain shakes. You know, if you go to Exodus and you read about the time where they demanded that they hear the word of God, that they hear the voice of God, they see God, they wanted to see God, they demanded to see God. The moment that they demanded to do that, you know, well, God said, all right, you want to see me? Cool. And he didn't even speak. He actually just told them to come nearer to the mountain, as he wanted to speak to them. And it was so terrible, like it was so terrifying. The ground was shaking. The clouds came and gathered together. Why? Because he comes with the magnificence. He comes with the glory, with the power. You know, he comes with all his magnificence into the place where you need him to be. You know, at that moment, he calls you into his presence, and he's there with you. And the moment, just being in his presence is overwhelming. It is breathtaking in itself. So we cannot expect him to speak the same way while he has given us 66 books. And everything matters pertaining to life and godliness are in there. So how do I deal with depression? How did I deal with it? I spoke to him. I went back to his word. What does his word say? What is it that you say about my situation right now? What is it that you say about my pain and struggling right now? All right? And I think there's a statement that I'll be able to sum it up all with. So let's move on to a point where, you know, you're struggling with pain from family and family or loss, and feeling like you're stagnant or feeling like you're insufficient and everything. You see, the thing here is the difference between you and I. As a believer, I believe that at the end of it all, whatever I'm seeing right now will not really matter when it comes to judgment in front of my maker. Let me ask you for a moment right now. So what is this whole rat race for? Why are you struggling so much? Why do you want to make it, as we say? Why do you want to make it in life? What is it that you want to achieve? And when you achieve it, what next? What will be the next step in life? What is it that you'll do next? Well, let's say, okay, cool. You work hard. You make your own home. It's a good home. It's a steady home. Well, you have a wife or you have a husband. You get children. You raise them as you grow old together. And then you die. Is that everything that your life will amount to? Well, let's say along the process, okay, let's add in a few things, a few spicy things. Along the way, you got to be recognized in the whole world for maybe, I don't know, you won a Nobel Peace Prize for, I don't know, you just brought peace to some mountain or to some village somewhere and you got a Nobel Peace Prize. Well, you've amassed some wealth, some fame, some, you know, some presence. What next? That's the thing. That's the question that I also asked myself. At the end of it all, humans are created to desire something more than what they can see. I mean, stop and ask yourself if all this struggle is gonna come to an end one time and it will not amount to anything for you. You leave it. You'll amass it all and leave it. You'll amass all this wealth and leave it. Is it worth the chase? He tells us. For me, my God tells me that what benefit will it be that I lose my soul and have everything in life? Well, in the other, it's said in the other way, you know, what good is it that I gain everything in this world and in the process of it I lose my soul? It's because the greatest investment a man can make is in his afterlife, in his eternity. An investment made in eternity is worthwhile. It lasts forever. The point is to look beyond these few decades of years that you are given on this earth. The point is to look beyond, is to stop for a moment everything that you're doing and stop and think, what is it that I am going to on the other side? What is it that I am going to? Do you believe that He created you for you to just go back to mere dust and nothing else? Do you honestly think that you came from an ape, which came from an organism, which developed over years and millions of years, that decided, well, I need eyes to see, and I don't need one, I need two. Even though they'll be turning towards the same direction at the same time, I still need two eyes. I need an ear on both sides of the head and not at the front, because the sides will be fine, that will be enough. I need the nose below the eyes because, just looks okay. And I need the mouth right below the nose, not on top of the nose, but right below the nose. Do you believe that is what happened? Well, if that is the case, then will there be any need to carry yourself with so much regard and so much honor? Do you love yourself? Do you take pride in who you are? If you do, then you need to know that you take pride in who you are, because you realize, and at the back of your mind, you know that you are a result of divine design. You are a result of divine design, created in mastery, you know, divine design. Somebody who created you, the one who created you, He put some skill, some thought into it, some time, some love, some care into it. And this same person did not only invest in your creation, but He also invested in your eternity. That's the whole point. That's the reason why Christ came on earth. That's the reason why Christ died for you and I. It is to secure our eternity with Him. Yes, it was out of love. He loved us. John 3:16 tells us that. We have sung it in Sunday school. Probably you have sung it as well. You're not a believer probably, but you've sung the same song like we have sung. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. It's not about these few decades that we have here. Compared to eternity, this is like child's play. The few 80, 90 years, 100 years, if we are lucky, that we have, are child's play compared to eternity. And when that comes to mind, that is when you need to know, that is when you understand why you'll see most Christians have zero chills when it comes to wealth. They are always happy. They are always with joy. They are always overjoyed. They're always, you know, putting out scriptures, you know, smiling, desiring to pray with you, share the word with you. It is because we know that at the end of it all, it does not matter how much I've been able to acquire on this earth. If I am not in the presence of my Maker at the end of it all, then it has all been vanity. Either way, it is vanity, whether you are a believer or not. Anything I acquire on this earth, it is all vanity. Don't get me wrong. That does not mean that now you become lazy. No. Remember, the same Bible says that he who does not work shall not eat. So you survive in this tiny journey towards eternity. And as we survive through this tiny journey towards eternity is when we do our best and do everything in our power to make sure that we live the right way so that we might secure our eternity. Because in eternity, it is only the righteous that will be able to get there. And before Christ came, it was so hard to be righteous. Read the Old Testament and you'll see the qualifications that were needed for the priests even to enter into the holies of holies, to communicate with God, to commune with God. And they used to get in with some sort of chain or string tied to their feet or their leg, their ankle, so that if they went in there and they were not righteous or holy or they had not sanctified themselves, they will drop dead because you're in the presence of God. And so every few minutes they will, you know, yank the string or the chain or whatever it was, and see if, you know, the person is still there, if they're still alive, or they already went out, you know, they already signed out. But the beauty of it is that when Christ came, he gave us that access, because when we approach this holy God, Christ is the one that is standing in our place. Christ has already paid for it. And so what I need is to be humble enough to accept it. Something that we are not willing to do. And that has always been a problem to you and I. It was a problem to me. This world has taught me that I need to work for everything I need, for everything I want. And then here comes a gift that is freely given. And it is for eternity. Wait, and it tells me that I am forgiven without paying anything? Yes, because if I did any works to acquire my salvation, then will it be really a gift? Number two, will I really hold it in high regard? Because I worked for it, it means I can work for it again. If I can work for it once, then well, I can continue sinning a bit more and then I can work for it again and then acquire it back. See the difference here? See, friend, you and I are not really that different. The only difference is our end. We are still living in the same world. Well, I'm doing things that you're not doing and you're doing things that I'm not doing, but we are still interacting with the same people, eating the same kind of foods, making almost the same friends. Actually, we might be having the same friends as we speak right now. The difference is that in the end of it all, I will stand alone, you will stand alone. You'll go out alone, I'll go out alone. Question is, where are you headed? Where am I headed? It's not to say that I'm the holiest of holies. No. Every day I take myself before God. Every day I continually sanctify myself through His Word, through the knowledge of His Word, because His Word sanctifies me. The Word is the one thing that keeps me clean. Did you know, by the way, what you consume your mind with, that is what overtakes you eventually? What you spend your whole day watching or the whole time watching is what actually shapes you. And this I've observed, because even just, you know, last night I stumbled upon something that has been trending, and it's something they call dark TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. I vowed to never get on there. Of course, I will get these videos on people's statuses and everything, because, I mean, at the end of it all, social media has become one big, you know, world altogether, where you can run away and you can actually make a whole life in social media and no life in real life, like in, you know, in actual places. And by the way, there are these people that I've been seeing saying, all I need is earphones and a lot of music and no people or no humans. And that is, I'm sorry to say, but that's not even human. That's inhuman. Why would you want to cut off everybody? Why would you want to be alone? You see, this is the problem we have. We want help and we cry out for help online. And when help comes to us, like legitimately comes, like a person reaches out. Oh, okay. I can see that you need help. Like, I can tell from your posts, everything you're posting is about how, you know, people are toxic and you're having toxic relationships and people are just pretentious and everything. And okay, I say, okay, let me reach out. And then I reach out and, hey, how are you doing? I'm okay. How are you really doing? well, I'm fine. Okay, so just tell me, what's the problem? How are you doing? Well, I can't really, you know, pinpoint it. I can't say what the problem is, but I'll be fine. Don't worry, I'll be fine. I understand. Everybody wants to feel special when they are begged, you know, when they are pampered and everything. But you do realize that it gets to a point, even the people that are trying to reach out, it becomes so hard for them because you're putting up a wall. And I'm not blaming you. Well, you had a part to play in it, but I'm not entirely blaming you. It is because over time, you fed yourself with the same content. And I was saying the other day, I've gone on record saying it is not healthy to 100% just listen to one teacher, even of the Word of God. You're listening to just one man the whole time. No other person, just one. That will build a personality cult where you only believe his word. You don't believe even the Word of God unless it comes from him. You do not get to a point where you actually study the Word of God for yourself. And even if you do, you are in doubt because you do not understand it the same way the man of God explains it to you. People who listen to motivational speakers, they listen to one specific motivational speaker. They spend their whole life there. You see, I was watching a very famous preacher the other day, and I remember telling Jerry, the problem with these guys, why they won't even see the truth and see the lies that they are teaching, he was a prosperity preacher, is because they listen to each other. Like you listen to your circle of friends. That's all you indulge with. That's all the content that you come across every day. That's all the content that you interact with on a daily basis. Just the people that are around you, your circle of friends. You know, that is where you spend all your time. Just that tiny circle of friends right there. You do not expound beyond it. You do not go beyond that circle of friends. And that's dangerous. Because the moment that they move out of the picture and your eyes are opened, well, it's either that you're lucky or blessed, you're able to, you know, find out in time, or you might be also too late. Like I said, I didn't know where this was going. And I really hope that along the way, I'm really helping somebody and you're able to get my perspective and where I'm coming from. The point is this. Whether we acquire and amass all the wealth on this earth, or whether we remain the way we are, living from hand to mouth, struggling to get by the week, let alone the month or the year, it's all gonna be nothing if we do not have Christ at the end of it all. The difference between me and you, my dear friend, believer or unbeliever, is that when I come to a corner where I feel like things are not going well, especially things that are material, you know, things that, you know, like, you know, just 1, 2, 3 things that maybe I wanted to achieve but I didn't achieve them, I encourage myself and I tell myself, well, at the end of it all, I am glad that I have Christ. And this year I went on record, because on 10th of January I went on record and said that this year, on this birthday, the one thing that I was really grateful for is that I know Christ. Because the amount of joy and peace that that knowledge brings me is just amazing. That one time and one day I'll have a chance to stand before my Maker and just marvel in His presence. That one time I'll be able to stand before my Maker and truly, even the struggles that I've gone through this whole time will not matter. It's like when a mother struggles with carrying a pregnancy for 9 months, goes through the process of giving birth, the labor pains and everything. But even mothers have gone on record to say that the moment you hold your child in your arms, all the other struggles that you've gone through, they just go away. It's like they are blown away in an instant when you look at the result. In Kenya, we use the 844 system. You study for 8 years, 4 years, another 4 years. And the moment you get your degree, your master's, your PhD, that moment is just priceless. All the hard work for a moment ceases to exist. And all you can see at that moment is just success and beauty. And amazement and happiness and joy and accomplishment. And that's the same thing, really. The idea about Christianity and the idea about faith in Christ is securing your eternity. Where are you headed when you're out of this small sphere that we are going around in? Where is your soul gonna reside? Because the spirit, man, is made up of three parts: soul, spirit, and flesh. And the one that is living in you, the one thing that actually causes you to, you know, to have those doubts about God and everything, to have those questions about where you came from, to have those questions about, you know, about life after death, and to actually have that question about death itself, is the breath of God that is in you, the breath of God himself, the spirit of God, because the Bible says that he has breathed his spirit into man. So he's in you. You have a point, you have an innate sense of who he is deep within you. You just need to acknowledge it. As I wrap up, Jesus, before he was crucified, he prayed for us. He prayed for you and I. Not only me as the believer, but even you. If you're not a believer, he also prayed for you. And verse 3 of John 17, this whole chapter is his prayer, 26 verses. His prayer, the greatest prayer. We were saying with JR the other day, you know, if we feel like this, especially he was saying that he feels like this should be the Lord's prayer, you know, because this is actually his own words. Verse 3, he says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent." That is eternity, my friend. That is eternity. That is life eternal. That you may know him, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. The one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And how do you know him? Your Bible. Your Bible has all the CV you need of God and his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Bible is God. It's God's word. It is his bio, like we like saying. Link in description, like link in bio. It is, the Bible is God's bio, biography. It's there in black and white. Open it today. Read it, go through it, reassure yourself, pick yourself up, be bold again, be strong again, fight. It's not gonna be easy. Nobody had promised that it's gonna be easy. In fact, it's gonna be really hard, maybe even harder than it is right now. Why? Because the world does not agree with Christ. The world does not agree with God. He is against it, and the world is against God. And those of us who believe in God live in the world at the end of the day. And every day we have to fight against it. Every day we have to put on the boldness that we need. Every day we need to become strong. Every day we have to fight. Either way, at the end of it all, we rejoice in the fact that in the end of it all, I shall see my Maker. I'll be able to stand before him, and he'll be able to tell me, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant." That is my desire. So that's the reason for my hope, friends. That's the reason for my hope. That at the end of it all, I'll be able to stand before my Maker and be able to say, "Father, I've come home." And he'll tell me, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant." See you Monday, folks. Peace.
Hey.
Hey, look at that. You made it to the end. If that isn't love, then it's a lot of love. If you enjoyed this episode, some feedback, a like, or even a share would be great. God bless you, and let's talk again next week.